ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 इंस्ट्रक्शंस फॉर सिविलाइज्ड ह्यूमन बीइंग्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 72.
अहम् च गायंस्तद्विद्वान् स्त्रीभिः परिवृतगतः ज्ञात्वा विश्वसृजस्तन्मे हेलनं से पुरोजसा याहि त्वां सुद्रताम् असु नष्टश्रीः कृत हेलनः.
ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद. नारद मुनि कंटिन्यूड, being invited to that festival, I also joined, and surrounded by women, I began musically singing the glories of the demigods. Because of this, the Prajapatis, the great demigods in charge of the affairs of the universe, forcefully cursed me with these words: because you have committed an offense, may you immediately become a Sudra, devoid of all beauty. Purport. As far as Kirtan is concerned, the Shastras say, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnuho. One should chant the glories of Supreme Lord and the only name of the Supreme Lord. This is clearly stated, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnuho. One should chant about and glorify Lord Vishnu, not any demigod. Unfortunately, there are foolish persons who invent some process of Kirtan on the basis of demigod's name. This is an offense. Kirtan means glorifying the Supreme Lord, not any demigod. Sometimes people invent Kali Kirtan or Shiva Kirtan. And even being sannyasis in the Mayavada school say that one may chant any name and still get the same result. But here we find that millions and millions of years ago, when Narada Muni was a Gandharva, he neglected the order of to glorify the Lord, and being mad in association of women, he began to chant otherwise. Thus, he was cursed to become a Sudra. His first offense was that he went to join the Sankirtan party in the company of lusty women. And another offense was that he considered ordinary songs like cinema songs and other such songs to be equal to Sankirtan. For this offense, he was punished with becoming a Sudra. Krishna. With the blessing and permission of all Vaishnavas, I would like to speak on this particular verse. So this verse is like a turning point for Narada Muni, you can see. That when pure devotees and even these demigods, sometimes they curse, that curse actually helps a person to advance in spiritual life. So although Narada Muni tells, previously we have seen in Canto 1 of Srimad Bhagavatam, how he narrates that because of this curse he became a Sudra, because he did not properly behave in the assembly of gentlemen, saintly people. Demigods are all worshippers of Lord Vishnu, and there instead of glorifying Lord Vishnu, he was glorifying demigods, so therefore they cursed him to become Sudra. But later, he came in contact with pure devotees of the Lord, and then he also became one of the greatest celebrated devotees of Lord Sri Krishna. But here in this particular verse, it is explained by Srila Prabhupada in the purport that how demigod worship, the way people do, is an indirect offense to the Supreme Lord. So here the demigod themselves do not like themselves by worshipped by some other person, But they prefer that the Supreme Lord should be glorified. Especially in that assembly, it was meant to glorify the Supreme Lord. So therefore it was all the more offensive. So, one may say, what is wrong in glorifying demigods? Like Ganesh, Shiva, Prabhupada says Kali Kirtan, Shiva Kirtan. Then Prabhupada himself is recognizing in the very beginning of the purport that Kirtan is very special, it is meant for Vishnu. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. This is this verse which was spoken by Prahlad Maharaj to Hiranyakashipu himself. States that Kirtan is an item of bhakti, Navada bhakti. There are 9 processes of bhakti to Lord Krishna. And one of the processes is Kirtan. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recognizes that this is the best form of bhakti, Kirtan. And therefore, what is best in bhakti, if it is used otherwise, is the maximum misuse, we can say. So Prabhupada says, Kirtan is for Lord Vishnu because it is bhakti. And other places, the worship of demigods is not actually bhakti. Now, we'll just simply try to understand these concepts. All of us already, most of you know better, but I'll just try to speak a little bit. That bhakti is defined as anya velashita sunyam, jnana karmam anabratam, anukalena krishnanu bhaktiruttama uchyate. That devotional service is pure love expressed through various activities without any ulterior motives. This is pure love expressed in various ways, various activities of a devotee, and that is done without any ulterior motives. Now, ulterior motives, this is something normally found in demigod worship, some desire to be fulfilled. Anybody who goes to Lord Shiva's temple, they have a desire to be fulfilled. Or anybody who goes to Durga, Dasara is very famous in Bengaluru and Orissa, there is a desire. Or Ganesh here in Maharashtra. So all these demigods are very popular because they are known to fulfill desires of people. There will be big queue on Shivaratri day or all these days. So, because there is some desire, there is some material motive, therefore it cannot be called bhakti, because by bhakti, by definition, is without any motives. So then, there was one pastime of Srila Prabhupada. It was happening in Delhi or somewhere. I think it was in North India, Delhi. That Prabhupada was singing this Narasimha Aarti, Jai Jagadish Hare. So somebody in the audience, while they, what they call? Singing in unison? So in that, one person started singing, Jai Jagadish Hare, Swami Jai Jagadish Hare, like that. I don't know that, nothing. They worship the demigods and they sing, Jai Jagadish Hare, Swami Jai Jagadish Hare. So he was in this Swami again and again. Prabhupada stopped him. Swamiji stopped him. Don't say Swami. Just chant Jai Jagadish Hare. He stopped him again. Because it was going in direction of demigod glorification instead of glorifying Lord Narasimhadev, because he was thinking about demigods in his mind. So Prabhupada immediately corrected him. So Kirtan is always meant for Vishnu. Why? Because it is bhakti. Bhakti is a very special thing. It is not of this world. Bhakti is called transcendental. Transcendental means something that is not of this world. Like here also, there are devotion, there are love, and there are friendship, and everything is there. But all these are contaminated with a motive. All these. But bhakti is transcendental. Why? Because it is not contaminated by mundane desires. So, such kind of bhakti actually attracts the love or the heart of the Supreme Lord. When such bhakti is performed towards the Lord without any motive, desires, then the Lord, the Supreme Lord, Lord Krishna, he is attracted to such a devotee for executing such bhakti. And then what happens? Suppose we like somebody, a friend, a good friend, somebody we love. Naturally, we invite him to our house, isn't it? We invite him to our house, we feed him, give gifts, and so many things happens because of love and affection. Similarly, when we attract Lord's love, then the Lord invites us to his house as a reciprocation. Therefore, bhakti is very special because it leads one to go back to Godhead. Whereas, a demigod worship, the very nature is allowing us to suffer in this world for a longer period of time because of material desires and sticking to this material world doesn't allow us to liberate. Therefore, demigod worship and worshipping Lord Vishnu is completely different affair. One allows us to stay in this world and suffer prolonged suffering and keep on prolonging it, like perpetual, Prabhupada says, use this word, perpetual miseries. Now, all the scientists are looking for a perpetual machine which can go on operating, but they don't know they are in the perpetual machine itself, suffering. All, you know, birth after birth, the suffering is going on because they don't have this information about performing of devotional service. Therefore, Prabhupada's contribution to this world is actually very significant and amazing. So, anyone, now one may say, then who can perform this bhakti? It is explained that anybody can perform bhakti, whoever he is in this world. Just like Krishna's love and affection is compared to moonshine. It's like a cooling, soothing moonshine. It shines on everybody. On rich man house, poor man house, knowledgeable or foolish, whoever, it shines on them. Similarly, Lord's love, Lord's affection is there for everyone. So anybody who is trying to come out of his, you know, dark room and wander in the moonshine, he can easily do so. He has to just express a desire. Therefore, anybody can practice bhakti and thus attain the love of the God. In fact, Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Mami partha vipasritya yepi suyu papayonayo. Striyo vaishas tatha sudras tepi yanti param gatim. That anybody, whether he is a sudra or he is a vaishya or a stri, whoever, they can surrender, take shelter of me. Vipasritya means they take exclusive shelter of me. And by taking that shelter, they can overcome all these material miseries and come back to me. So it does not matter who we are, whatever our status is. We have to just express our desire. We have to just come out of this darkness and accept the cooling shade of Lord Krishna's affection. So Krishna himself is saying anybody can do it. Then of course in the next verse he says, then what to speak of those who are great brahmanas, great devotees of the law, great exalted sages and saintly persons? Definitely they get all the mercy of the Lord without any doubt. So if you see this, examine this world, everybody is practically everyone is sudra or lower. In fact, here Lord Sri Krishna is saying, anybody who is within the varnashram system, they can take shelter of me and get my mercy. But one may ask, what about those who are outside varnashram system? Because those who are in varnashram system, even if they are sudras, there is a good chance to hear about Krishna. And then because they know about Krishna, then they will express a desire to take shelter of Krishna. And thus they achieve the mercy. But what about those who are outside this varnashram circle? It is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto. Kirata hunandra pulinda pulaksha avira sambha yavana khasade yene cha papa yad apasraya asritya sudhyanti tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. This is a very nice verse in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is explained, those who are outside varnasram sin, that means they are very much addicted to sinful activities and attached to those sinful activities, attached to the suffering of life. And because they do not have any information about the Lord also, there is no question of surrendering to the Lord. So what about them? And it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that such person can take the shelter of Lord's devotee, pure devotees. Apasraya asraya means they take shelter of devotees of the Lord. Take shelter of those who have taken shelter of the Supreme Lord. And that is the way one can come out of these miseries. Now in this age of Kali, practically everybody is lower than Sudra in one sense, because Sudras at least have, you know, desire to stay in Varnashram and serve the superiors, and those chastity is there. But I can relate to my personal life itself, that in the way we have trained up in our education system and all this lifestyle, Western education, there is no question of anywhere in any point of life we have ever thought or wondered that I have to surrender to Vishnu, take shelter of Vishnu. We have taken shelter of so many things, but we have never thought about taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. It is only by coming in association of devotees it is possible. So therefore devotee is considered to be more merciful than the Lord, because it seems in Gita that Lord is saying, I only accept those within Varnashram circle, I don't accept anybody outside. Because I do not know, maybe other places it is mentioned, but as far as I can see this verse, it is very clear that the Lord is accepting only those who are within the Varnashram circle. So then one may ask that why the Lord is sending his devotees to those who are not aware of him, why himself is not extending, one may ask like that. Why the Lord is saying, okay, you go and deliver, I will stay back. So then one may think, why the Lord is not taking his own interest? It is not like that. Perhaps, first of all, a pure devotee would not like the Lord to go to places where he would be blasphemed. So devotees themselves volunteer, Lord, you don't have to go, we'll go on your behalf, something like that. That the pure devotees are of course sent by the Lord, but they are happy because they do not want their Lord to be blasphemed and unnecessarily hurt by those who do not know anything about the Supreme Lord. But of course, this is, therefore Srila Prabhupada in the purport, in one of the purport in Srimad Bhagavatam, he glorifies Jesus Christ and even Muhammad for preaching the glories to people who are absolutely unqualified to hear about the Lord. And these people exclusively took shelter of Jesus Christ and Muhammad. And their knowledge about God is very, very little, very little. But because they took the shelter of these people, these great devotees, therefore they are advancing in towards a transcendental goal. But of course, we can see Srila Prabhupada himself did a job which is far, far superior than Jesus or Muhammad. So of course, he doesn't write about himself in that purport, he is glorifying these people. But actually, if we see within 10 years' time, whatever he has done is something amazing. Of course, when the Lord sends his devotees, he also empowers them. Not that he just sends and doesn't care about it. He gives all the facilities, all the power, all the abilities, and everything he supplies. He himself actually manifests. It is explained in Guru Vastak, Sakshad Dharitana Samastha Sastra. His Sakshad Hari, manifesting through such persons. So in 10 years, whatever happened is something no mundane man can think. Because whatever Srila Prabhupada did is like opening 108 temples. Now, opening one temple is so much troublesome. Those who are in management, they know it better. So 108 temples in 10 years, and so much of literatures, so much dedicated devotees who are distributing books like wildfire. I was seeing this newsletter coming from Book Distribution Ministry that how during Prabhupada's times they were selling, I'd say distributing around 40 million literature, 50 million literature a year. Nowadays with so many more temples and so many more devotees, the distribution touches 15 to 20 million a year. So while everything was happening, still this book distribution, everything was going on in a very high peak, highest ever happened in the history. So you can see that Prabhupada was empowered by the Lord to give pure teachings to unqualified people, what nobody else ever did before. So, well, the Lord sends his devotees, but also we see that when he comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Lord Krishna descends as Lord Chaitanya, as a devotee of himself, at that time, he stretches himself to everybody. So Lord Chaitanya came, he is Krishna himself basically. But here is Lord Krishna himself and he is approaching to everyone and delivering everyone. He is not discriminating whether it is Varnashram or not. You can see he is one of his glorious devotee dedicated to Lord Chaitanya, Sri Haridas Thakur, who happens to appear in a Mohammedan family. Also we can see that Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami and their brother Anupam, all of them were attached to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and accepted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although they were practically become Muslim at that point of time. So it's Lord, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he shows his mercy to everyone and accepts without any discriminations, whoever he may be. So in this way you can see the bhakti is special, because when one performs bhakti purely, without any motivations, then the Lord immediately accepts and one gets entrance to the spiritual world. But the question is, how to perform this bhakti without any motivations? Because the people of this world, like all of us, you know, most, at least for myself, we can see that because of addiction to material life for many, many births, it is very difficult to serve the Lord without any motive. One may say it in words, but to actually perform it is very difficult. And here, the role of pure devotees even becomes more and more important. Because through their association, through their training, gradually one overcomes these material desires which are lurking in our heart for millions of years. So it just can't go at one stroke. It takes time and patience. One requires, Rupa Goswami says, Uscha Nishcha Dhairya Tattat Karma Pravartanat. That one has to perform devotional service with enthusiasm, with patience and with determination. So there may be enthusiasm, but if it is not long-lasting, then what is the use? And if it is long-lasting but there is no determination, then what is the use? So one has to have enthusiasm, one has to be determined, yes, I will be successful. Then also one has to have patience. With such qualities, when one takes training under devotees of the Lord, then there is very good hope to overcome these material propensities. Material propensities are two types. One is gross, one is subtle. Gross means eating, sleeping, mating and defending, which is very difficult to avoid. And the subtle is desire for prestige, power, distinctions, worship, adoration. So all these desires are very, very deep within our heart. And therefore, because of these material desires are very strongly rooted in our heart, it is very difficult to glorify the Lord, do the kirtan without any motive. So therefore, with association of devotees, by serving them, by rendering menial service, and by doing all kind of different, accepting their instructions, one can gradually overcome these tendencies. So, The association of devotees, especially pure devotees, is very, very essential for one to progress in spiritual life. And from such pure devotees, when you hear about other pure devotees also, it is very inspiring. Because when you hear about devotees' lifestyle, the way they conduct their devotional service, it sparks a desire in our heart to do service in a similar way. Just like a child, when he sees good things, then he tries to imitate it, being inspired. And when he sees bad things also, he is inspired to do bad things. So we are like children, and when we hear and see and do some good activities, then we are also inspired to do in a similar way. And that trains our mind and senses to serve the Lord without any motives. So today is a very auspicious day actually. Today is the disappearance day of Srila Loknath Goswami. So I'll just speak little briefly about his lifestyle, because just as this personality's lifestyle, their everything inspires us. So it's my good fortune, but actually I'm not qualified to speak anything about such a person. But still I'll just try with her blessings, permission. It's very difficult to get information about Loknath Swami, because when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami went to take his blessing to write Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said, "I will give you blessing only if you do not write about me in Chaitanya Charitamrita." And therefore, there is no information. Practically, one or two places, it is just his name is mentioned, but nothing is written about him. And few places, I was searching here and there, and very, very small, you know, brief story about his life is mentioned. So he was born during the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the district of Jessore in Bangladesh. Jessore is the place from where Srila Haridas Thakur also comes, Rupa Goswami also comes, Sanatan Goswami, naturally Anupam, they all come from that place. It's a very, very powerful place. And his father name was Padmanabh Chakravarti and mother was Sita Mata, Loknath Goswami's father and mother. Although Padmanabh Chakravarti was a very, associate of Lord Advaita. And as a great exalted devotee himself, still Loknath Swami left his home and to associate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. So he came to Navadvip and he was a very, very intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when Lord Chaitanya reached the age of 24, he was about to take sannyas. He told Loknath Goswami that in few days I am going to take sannyas. And therefore, because you cannot bear seeing my hairs fall, therefore, and take the dress of a mendicant, sannyasi, therefore you go to Vrindavan. So as soon as Loknath Goswami heard that statement, he was taken aback. Because those devotees who loved Lord Chaitanya Prabhu at that time, they could not imagine that Lord Chaitanya would ever become a sannyasi. You know, wearing saffron, shaving his beautiful hairs. That was the last thing. That was not in their mind at all. What it is, or to speak of last thing. So when he heard, it was like a shock to him. And he was like kind of fainting again and again. But then Lord Chaitanya said, "No, you must go." So as an instruction, he said, "You go ahead, because after taking sannyas, I'll be visiting Vrindavan. So you go as an advance party and prepare for my arrival." So with a heavy heart, he left Navadvip. And he was going to, of course, Vrindavan. But he was feeling separation from Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while going to Vrindavan. Finally reached there. And in the meantime, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he was going to Vrindavan, but then he was misled by Nityananda Prabhu and all this story happened and he went to Puri. And from Puri, he went to South India Yatra, on a South Indian tour. And that news reached to Loknath Goswami, that Lord Chaitanya has gone in a South Indian tour. So Vrindavan is the north. First of all, he went to Orissa, and from Orissa again he is going to South India, further away. So he could not understand. He said, Lord is supposed to come here. He has not come. He is going to South India. So what he did, he said, I will go to South India and see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was feeling so much separation. So he kept walking and all the way. Finally, he toured all the South Indian places where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited. Then finally heard that Lord Chaitanya has gone back to Puri. So again he went to Puri. And there he heard Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has gone to Vrindavan. So again immediately, reaching Puri, again he immediately started to Vrindavan. Because it was instruction of Lord Chaitanya, you go to Vrindavan, stay there, I will be coming there. So he said, Lord Chaitanya is going to Vrindavan and I am not there to receive him. It was instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was feeling very bad, he was walking very fast. But when he reached there, it was around evening time. When he reached there, he heard that only 2-3 days back, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left to Prayag. So because it was night time, he decided next morning itself, I'll go towards Prayag. But in the night, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in his dream. And again instructed, there is no need to travel further. You have already traveled so much. Now you please stay in Vrindavan because I want you to stay there and excavate, rediscover all the pastimes of Lord Krishna's holy places, and that would be a great service to me. So instead of traveling further, you stay back. So again, because the instruction came again, final instruction, so he just stayed there and never left Vrindavan, it looks. And it seems that he never met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu afterwards also. You would be hearing about him from Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, but he never met them. So, he was living in a place called Kishori Kund. It is in village of Umrao, Chatravan, in Vrindavan, very nice place. So when he reached there, he liked that place so much, he decided to live there. And in his mind, a desire came that I should worship the deity of Lord Krishna. And when he desired like that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in the guise of a Brahmana. And he came and delivered him a very beautiful deity of Krishna. And suddenly he just went away from that place and disappeared. And when he received that deity, he was so happy, so blissful. He didn't know what to do. Then he was looking around, where is this person, who is this deity? And suddenly he found nobody was there. And seeing his bewilderment, that deity smiled to him and directly spoke to him, that I am Radha Vinod and I have come to you by my own. Nobody has brought me. So he explained like that. It is not that somebody brought me. I myself has come. I was living nearby in the Kishori Kund area. And because you desire to serve, therefore I appeared to you. So now feed me something. So immediately he hastily cooked some rice and whatever anna he cooked, offered to the deity, then made a very nice small bed, put the deity to the rest and massage his lotus feet. And he was fanning with a leaf. And then he made stitched a bag out of cloth. And that cloth bag he used as temple of the Lord. And wherever he would go, he would carry the deity in that bag. And that bag was like divinely effulgent, it is explained. And in the rainy season, he would put the deity in the hole of a tree trunk. You know, there is a kind of small caves are there in the whole tree trunks. And for himself, he would never accept any shelter. So he would be waiting in the rain season, sitting below the trees. And he would never accept any facilities for himself. He was completely detached from materialistic activities. It was so detached, it is explained that ordinary people could not understand the depth of his detachment from this world. That was his renunciation. But nevertheless, he always took care of the deity very nicely. The deity is still there in city of Jaipur nowadays. Also, Vrindavan, his temple is there, Radha Gokulanand, there also Radha Vinod, the Prativo deity is still there. So, in this way, he was living in Vrindavan. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already indicated him, that in future Narottamdas Thakur will come and take initiation from him, from you. Therefore, whenever he comes here, you initiate him. So after some time, Lord Narottamdas Thakur appears in Vrindavan. He is very ecstatic, very happy. Then he was approaching very humbly to take initiation from Loknath Goswami. But out of his humility, he would refuse. He took a vow that I will never initiate anybody as my disciple. But here the instruction was there, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction was there. Therefore he was approaching, Narottamdas Thakur was approaching, but he was refusing. He said that Lord Gauranga already embraced you. He gave you the mercy. And he is the supreme guru. There is no need for you to take any initiation further. He would refuse like that. But Narottamdas Thakur would always request him because it is Mahaprabhu's instruction. And I also desire to be trained under you as a disciple. Therefore please accept me. He would refuse and he would not allow him to serve in any way or manner. But Narottamdas Thakur was so eager that he was doing this service of cleaning the area where he would go to respond to the nature's call. So Narottamdas Thakur go and very early in the morning and clean the area very nicely and put their sprinkled cow dung and everything, purify that place very nicely where Loknath Goswami would respond to nature's call. So every day he was going, he was wondering, what is this place? It's so nice, every day becoming nicer and nicer. Who is the person behind it? So one day he came very early and he was trying to see who is the person who is cleaning and maintaining this area. And to his amazement, he saw Narottamdas Thakur was doing it. He was shocked. And he said, you are a prince. You are like a son of a king. How can you do such menial service? It is not... But he said, No, I am very happy doing it, this service. So finally, still, he was not allowing him to take initiation. Then it is explained in one of these literature that how Narottamdas Thakur finally said to Loknath Goswami, when a chaste girl decides to have somebody as husband, then he prays to the Lord and prays that his father, her father grants this marriage. And when the father grants the marriage, then the union is allowed. Similarly, I am like that chaste girl and I want to be your disciple. And our father, Lord Chaitanya Prabhu, has already given the permission. So why are you delaying? Like that he said. So many locals say, okay, after that he just gave him his initiation. And then he sent him to Jiva Goswami for further training. Finally, the training was over. And all this beautiful new generation of Vaishnavas, like Narottamdas Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Shamanand Pandit, all these great exalted Vaishnavas, it's a new batch. And they were told to take the literatures and distribute all over Orissa, Bengal. Bengal means both East and West together combined. And they were very excited. And Narottamdas Thakur came to take permission and blessing of Loknath Goswami. And it is explained that at that time, he was very, very sick. And he was actually not able to get up. He was about to leave his body at that time. Absolutely sick. And when Narottamdas Thakur saw, he said, I would cancel all my trips and I'll just stay here and serve you. That was his desire. He expressed, I don't want to go anywhere, I just want to serve you. But Loknath Goswami, taking the advantage of his spiritual master position, he said, there is no need to serve me, you just go. Because what is the use of my service? What is the use of my position or value? That humility was there. And he said, in fact, today you should go. And it is my order. So in this way, he rejected completely any service. And of course, such devotee is very dear to Krishna. So you can see from the life stories of such exalted devotees, how devotional service is performed without any ulterior motives. In fact, it is explained when Narottamdas Thakur became his disciple, he immediately offered Narottamdas Thakur to Krishna, saying, now onwards you are Krishna's. So a pure devotee never takes his disciple as his own property. He always offers them to Krishna. And here you can see practically that when he was sick and when he needed service, at that point he is saying, no, you should serve Krishna. So all these stories, and not true stories, which happened here in this world only, can inspire whenever we heard and speak about it, that how pure devotees render devotional service, glorify the Lord without any ulterior motives. And in that way, one can be inspired to serve more and more. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Lokanath Goswami Prabhupada ki, Nityakar Premanande Hare Krishna.